New audio tonight of a state senator referring to the LGBTQ plus community as filth during a public event last week. The Tahlequah Daily Press first reported this story. The paper reports a constituent asked Senator Tom Woods about legislation targeting gay rights and the recent death of Nex Benedict. After Woods expressed sympathy for the Owosso teen's death, he lashed out.
We're a Republican state, supermajority in the House and Senate. I represent a constituency that doesn't want that filth in Oklahoma. You know, we are a religious state. We are going to fight to keep that filth out of the state of Oklahoma because we're a Christian state. We're a moral state.
Now, just in the last 20 minutes, Wood weighed in on his comments, saying a child losing their life is horrible. They were a victim of bullying, and that is never okay. He went on to say, I stand behind what I believe in. This is an agenda that is being forced on Oklahoma kids. My voting record speaks for itself. I will continue to push for a day when kids can be kids again and be free from the pressure of conforming to radical ideologies. Senator Pro Tem Greg Treat also released a statement about Woods' comments, saying, Senator Woods and I have spoken, and I made it clear that his remarks were reprehensible and inappropriate. He went on to say, I am of the belief that all people are image bearers of God and deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, adding, in my opinion, he had a serious lapse of judgment, and it has distracted from the mission and good work we are attempting to advance on behalf of all Oklahomans.
March 3rd, 2024. It is Sunday in general. I do not have a shift to get to. I am doing podcast work and I need to clean out this carpet scrubber deal and get it back to the store. And I'll just continue doing podcast work around that task and whatnot. Article up on CNN by Virginia Langmaid. That's tough. A collaborative effort between Virginia Langmaid and Dahlia Fahid for CNN. Let's take a look at it. Following the death of the 10th grader Nex Benedict, the U.S. Department of Education said Friday it is opening an investigation into whether an Oklahoma school district failed to appropriately respond to harassment. This is according to a letter from the department. Nex, who had a family and friends, and their family and friends say they identified as non-binary, they died from this attack, which if they died from the attack, I would call that murder. They died from the attack on February 8th. A day after, they told their family they were involved in a fight with other students at the Owosso High School. It is not clear if or how the fight contributed to Nex's death. Okay. Their cause of death has yet to be determined. All right. But an early autopsy finding showed they did not die as a result of trauma, according to the police. And seeing, like, when I was first looking at this story, I found all that very funny style. Because that sort of thing, you know, I'd hate to say Tariq Nasheed said, but something Tariq Nasheed said where he kind of agrees with me. You look at the things these folks do. What's legal is what enough people agree on. Right, where you talk about like these rape culturists in the manosphere, the men's rights activist movement, talking about if they're ever on the jury for a rape trial, they're just voting innocent no matter what, or not guilty no matter what. No matter what evidence comes forward, they're voting innocent or not guilty or however that comes out. I've never done jury duty. And if they get enough men, which is why they do the propaganda the way they do, which is why they're not just targeting boys for algorithm, money, success. They're targeting boys because that's the society they want for the future, right? They get enough of them to agree on that, then suddenly, if every rape case results in not guilty, then it is now legal. You see what I'm saying? And so, in this, if you have an area where you have enough people that are like, look, some folks are allowed to exist and some folks aren't, and if that involves people that work in the police department, in forensics, in law, practicing law, that matriculate to being judges, that matriculate to being upper court judges, right, that are bailiffs, prison guards, and maybe even morticians, coroners. You get enough of these folks on board with this ideology that some folks get to exist, some folks don't. Then yeah, I could see that bringing back the result that, nah, wasn't due to trauma. You know, I really just don't trust the adults with these babies, frankly, in that area. And when you look at the trajectory of America, I don't think you could ever trust the adults with these babies, any of them. And the babies that do survive, well, they have to either flee or become these adults in this area. I might be a bit nihilistic when it comes to potentially improving the adults in the area. Continuing, coming off of CNN here, again, article up by Virginia Langmaid and Dahlia Fahid. They further tell us, on February 21st, an LGBTQ plus advocacy group, Human Rights Campaign, HRC, filed a complaint requesting that federal education officials investigate, quote, the circumstances leading to the death of Next Benedict. Failure of Owosso High School to address documented instances of bullying, violence, and harassment, end quote. In a letter to the Human Rights Campaign, the Department of Education said it will be investigating whether Owosso Public Schools complied with the Title IX sex-based discrimination protections and the Title II disability discrimination protections when investigating allegations of harassment within its schools. Now again, the adults in the area, but we also live in good old internet world where the adults in the area can be connected to adults in other areas. So what was the beginning of that paragraph again? In a letter to the Human Rights Campaign, the Department of Education, this would be the one of Oklahoma, correct?
The right-wing activist behind Libs of TikTok has been appointed for a key position at the Oklahoma Department of Education. Top Oklahoma school official Ryan Walters has appointed Libs of TikTok head Chaya Ratchik to the Library Media Advisory Committee at the State Department of Education. Libs of TikTok often post videos about LGBTQ plus teachers in schools, classifying them as groomers.
Walters said in a statement, Chaya Ratchik is on the front lines showing the world exactly what the radical left is all about, lowering standards, porn in schools, and pushing woke indoctrination on our kids. Her unique perspective is invaluable as part of my plan to make Oklahoma schools safer for kids and friendlier to parents, per the Huffington Post.
It's interesting that he raises the idea of lowering standards, given that I couldn't find any evidence that this woman would be qualified to do any job in education whatsoever. And there are some obvious conflicts of interest here to have someone working on a school board that seems not to respect the basic rights of gay people in this country to even be teachers in the first place.
To take back our schools. We are going to fix the schools. We're going to remove porn from the schools, and you can't stop us.
Opening up the Board of Education meeting for the first time, controversial right-wing Libs of TikTok creator Chaya Ratchik is addressing Oklahomans on her new role reviewing our state's library books, a role Superintendent Walters thinks she's perfect for.
We're really excited about having Chaya on the team. She was a national leader in shining a spotlight on this pornography in our schools.
But not everyone agrees. Education advocate Sean Cummings spoke in public comment, voicing concerns about bomb threats that followed one of Rychek's posts.
Her behavior brought on bomb threats at how many of our schools? Two? How many days were they out? Six? You took somebody that threatened our children. Literally threatened our children. You have no plausible deniability if it happens again.
Her videos have become a powder keg in the ongoing culture war in America's schools and public libraries. As activists demand the removal of some books, librarians move to prevent so-called book bans, and accusations of pornography in schools find themselves in the nation's psyche. Now the founder of Libs of TikTok, Chaya Rashik, is a member of the Oklahoma State Board of Education's Media Library Advisory Committee. Rashik announced her appointment by the GOP state superintendent on X, declaring, "We will get porn out of schools." Rashik has built an audience in part by pointing out reported instances of pornography and an alleged woke agenda in public schools around the U.S. Superintendent Ryan Walters said in a statement Tuesday, "Chaya is on the front line showing the world exactly what the radical left is all about. Lowering standards, porn in schools, and pushing woke indoctrination on our kids." While some Republicans hailed her new role, Democrats were less enthused. One state Democratic lawmaker admonished the move, arguing Rashik doesn't fit any criteria to be on the board, citing the Education Department's own requirements to serve. Oklahoma Representative Mickey Dolenz, a Democrat, wrote on X, "Not only is Chaya Rashik unqualified to serve on the Library Media Advisory Committee, but she is also disqualified." Dolenz went on to list the qualifications, which include being a librarian, a professional education background, having kids in Oklahoma schools, and living in Oklahoma, none of which Rashik fulfills, according to Dolenz. After repeated searches on the Oklahoma Board of Education's website, the most extensive reporting on the function of the committee was found on Fox News. The news outlet reports the board is volunteer-based and chosen by the superintendent. Walter's office told the news outlet it is made up of parents, librarians, and English teachers. The board members offer guidance to the state board in its selection of books and materials for elementary, middle school, and high school students. Walter said the goal is to rid or prevent any sexualized or pornographic content from public schools. NBC News described the appointment as far right. Rashik responded on X, "Far right is when you're against giving kids porn in school. I guess I'm far right then. Raise your hand if you're also far right." Rashik's account, Libs of TikTok, currently has 2.8 million followers on X.
So if enough people in the area and with this interconnectivity, maybe even out of the area, agree, then whatever's on paper doesn't matter anymore. Their ideology is the law. Moving forward, continuing, coming off of CNN here. So the Owosso Public Schools officials said they received a notice Friday about the investigation. Quote, "The district is committed to cooperating with federal officials and believes the complaint submitted by HRC is not supported by the facts and is without merit," end quote, from the Owosso Public Schools spokesperson, Brock Crawford, in a statement on Friday. The chair of the Congressional Equality Caucus, Representative Mark Pocan, said in a statement Friday that the investigation is, quote, "an important step forward, ensuring that all students at the Owosso Public Schools can learn free from discrimination or harassment," end quote. I would say also from murder. That would be pretty cool to protect them from. All right. Continuing, Nex's death drew national attention. Murder. Nex's death drew national attention with multiple vigils taking place for the teenager throughout the U.S. as advocates pointed to heightened and hostile climate against the LGBTQ plus community. Body cam video from February 7th, released by the Owosso Public Department, shows a police officer speaking with a teenager and their guardian in a hospital after a fight in the school bathroom between two groups of students. From what Phoenix Kalita told me, what she gathered from folks that she associates with in different states and out of Oklahoma, a witness said, like, she was jumped, or they were, they were jumped, I think. Yeah, I think they were jumped, and those murderers were straight up bouncing her head, their head. I think I'm fucking up on, hold up, let me check. Just gonna do this in real time, do a Yahoo search here, and next Benedict's pronouns, let's see here. Spell it out. Oh, Jesus. Type next Benedict pronouns. Let's see. Ah, they, them. Yes, good reminder. Jesus Christ, stay sharp. I know I need to get some gosh darn sleep. Let's get focused here. So they were jumped and were getting their head straight up bounced off the floor, like, repeatedly. Like, think about, like, holding someone's hair, or however you're controlling their dome, and just whacking their head on the floor an unnumbered amount of times. No one kept count. They just kept doing it. You know? Yeah, that's murder. That's killing someone on purpose because you want to. I'd say that's premeditated murder. You think they jumped them on accident? Come on now, let me silly Billy. Continuing. The body camera footage. Next says the day of the attack, they went to the bathroom, saying, quote, "And I was talking with my friends. They were talking with their friends, and we were laughing. And they had said something like, quote, why do they laugh like that? And they were talking about us in front of us," end quote. In response to those comments, next tells the officer they poured water from their water bottle on the students, and that's when things escalated. They came at next Benedict and grabbed their hair, and next says, and then next was able to grab one of the girls and threw her into a paper towel dispenser. Defense? They say next eventually got thrown onto the ground, and the other students proceeded to beat them up. Yes, jumping. It's called a pack out, rat packing. Next got packed out to death. The physical altercation was broken up by students and a faculty member, police have said. All students walked to the assistant principal's office and the nurse's office, police said, adding the adding that the investigation is ongoing. The school district later said in a statement that, quote, "due to federal privacy laws, we are unable to disclose the exact nature of disciplinary action taken against any student." Ain't that something? A GoFundMe has been established on behalf of Next Benedict and their family. The Benedict family said in a statement last week that the early details about the incident are troubling at best, saying, quote, we urge those tasked with investigating and prosecuting all potentially liable parties to do so fully, fairly, and expediently. The Benedicts know all too well the devastating effects of bullying and school violence and pray for meaningful change wherein bullying is taken seriously and no family has to deal with another preventable tragedy.
Backlash after this statement from an Oklahoma senator about the LGBTQ plus community.
We're a Republican state, supermajority in the House and Senate. I represent a constituency that doesn't want that filth in Oklahoma.
Filth? That's how Republican lawmaker Tom Woods describes the LGBTQ plus community during a public forum.
Public outrage, and now Senate leadership is condemning his comment.
News 4's Capitol Bureau Chief Kaylee Olivas joining us now with more on this. Kaylee, what'd you find out?
Yeah, Jolene, Kevin, we've tried talking to Senator Tom Woods all day, even catching him at his office.
A 16-year-old died after being beaten in a Owosso high school. What do you think of that?
My heart goes out to that scenario if that is the case. But we represent a constituency. We're a Republican state, supermajority in the House and Senate. I represent a constituency that doesn't want that filth in Oklahoma. You know, we are a religious state. We're going to fight to keep that filth out of the state of Oklahoma.
Republican Senator Tom Woods just a few days ago responding to a question about an Oklahoma non-binary student's death. Next, Benedict was in a physical altercation earlier this month with classmates, dying a day later. The cause of death still under review, and the police investigation is ongoing.
His response to the death of a non-binary young person in Owosso, Oklahoma, not that far away from the district he claims to represent, is especially disturbing.
Senate President Pro Tempore Greg Treat calling Woods' remarks, quote, reprehensible and inappropriate, going on to say, quote, he had a serious lapse of judgment and it has distracted from the mission and good work we are attempting to advance on behalf of all Oklahomans. But no word on whether or not Woods will face any consequences. We tried getting his side a handful of times Monday.
He's in deep depression in there. He said sorry, but he would make time later, but not now.
As we think about that harm, that the Senate also needs to take into account a situation in which he does not express any sort of real remorse, and also that an apology that's words only is not apology enough.
Well, despite being told Woods would talk to us later today, he didn't. We did just get a statement from him saying, quote, I stand behind what I believe in. The groups and individuals who push gender reassignment on children in our schools and anyone else who is trying to normalize this behavior shouldn't be tolerated. Is unacceptable in my mind. We'll have that full statement up online. Whether he'll face consequences again is still up in the air.
All right, Kaylee, thank you. Meanwhile, earlier today, students at Owosso High School walked out in peaceful protest over the next Benedict situation. While the walkout was peaceful, a counter-protest did happen across the street during the walkout. Owosso police released 911 calls, body cam video, and security footage from inside the school. And while police say the ME says Benedict did not die as a result of trauma, we likely won't know the official cause of death for months.
All right, and we're coming off of Tulsa, Oklahoma's news outlet KTLU with an article up by Tyler Butler on the KTLU staff. It went up August 11th, 2022. And we are told that for the last decade, Oklahoma schools have been sliding in a big way. National rankings put the state 17th in the nation in 2011, but today, Oklahoma is 49th, according to a 2021 EdWeek report. You see, in 10 years, Oklahoma has seen a 25% reduction in education spending, and this is according to the state superintendent, Joy Hoffmeister. That was one of several concerning statistics that she shared with them, particularly concerning teacher shortages and the number of emergency certified teachers that they are getting in the door. Quote from Hoffmeister, in 2011, there were only 32 requests for emergency certifications. End quote. Where are we today with that number? Oh, we're over 3,000. We're talking about, in 1 month, over 1,000 requests. It is catastrophic. End quote. Perfect impression. The Oklahoma Education Association also sees this as a catastrophe. A funding problem created by one-and-done thinking, as they call it. We have a quote from Catherine Bishop, who is the president of the Oklahoma Education Association. And Catherine Bishop tells us, we are 47th in the nation on what we spend per pupil funding. What we spend on students in the classroom. That has a very very direct correlation and a direct impact on our students' learning. End quote from Catherine Bishop, president of the Oklahoma Education Association, at the time this article was published. Class sizes have swollen, and the OEA is starting to hear horror stories from districts trying to stretch every dollar, but they can only go so far. Now, an individual by the name of Bishop says, "It is time to see education as a workforce, as one of the largest industries in our state, in many of our communities. The public school is the largest employer." Holy Jesus. Now, this is one issue that Hoffmeister says is not only underfunded, but is being disrespected by those seeking political power, saying, quote, "It takes leaders at the top who actually address the problem, not make it worse. The rhetoric we are seeing in culture war buzzwords is something that is demoralizing and making people want to leave the profession." End quote. What does need to happen, she believes, is the culture wars need to stop and real meaningful investment to begin. And Oklahoma has the funding to do it. Final quote from Hoffmeister. "The governor has his hands in today, has his hands on today, with the rainy day fund $2.8 billion set aside for a rainy day. Well, check the weather, because it's pouring now, and our kids are paying the price." I could have ended it with a hotter line than that, like, our kids have mud on their shoes, all right. And let's follow that up with some additional reporting that we'll be getting from News 9, Coco 5 News, News 9 once again, and then we'll be going straight over to CBS News.
Well, the 2023 Kids Count data book reveals Oklahoma ranks 46th nationally for overall child well-being.
Each year, the data book considers factors like economic well-being, education, health, family, and community factors in making its rankings. Oklahoma is ranked 37th nationally for health care, 38th in economic well-being, 43rd in family and community context, and in education, Oklahoma is second to last.
Shelby, Kylie, the foundation breaks their rankings down into four categories. That's education, economic well-being, health, and family and community. Where Oklahoma performs the worst is in education. What really hurts Oklahoma, according to this 2023 data book, is education. 76% of fourth graders are not proficient in reading, and 84% of eighth graders are not proficient in math. So what can Oklahoma do to move into a better position? Well, the foundation, along with Oklahoma Policy Institute, says more attention and emphasis needs to be put on quality child care. That includes investing remaining COVID relief money into child care services and capacity, and improve access to home-based child care. They also call on members of Congress to act by expanding child care access for parents who are also full-time students. Where Oklahoma saw substantial improvement over the last few years is in health care. That's because they say that's attributed to increased investment in Medicaid. So the argument there, targeted spending works. Reporting live at the Capitol, I'm Andy Weber, KOCO 5 News.
Newsline's Chris Hugh explains what Stitt believes will help reverse the trend.
Governor Kevin Stitt devoted a large portion of his second inaugural speech today to education, saying, quote, "We need to unleash our states."
They really have that raggedy recording up with all that wind on the microphone and that wind blowing those flags flapping behind this recorder. All right, that's the audio they gave us. Okay, thank you, News 9.
Full potential. When it comes to education, Stitt says he wants Oklahoma to be in the top 10.
"I do not accept that Oklahoma's education system is ranked near the bottom."
But that's where the Sooner State currently is, according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress. Eighth grade math and reading scores, for example, are well below the national average.
"I will fight every single day for you, because I know that Texans are not smarter than Oklahomans.
Stead says to improve education, there needs to be more schools.
Like the Aviation Academy in Norman.
Stead is also stressing education freedom for students. He mentioned the open transfer law, which allows students to transfer to any district in the state.
Because we believe every kid deserves the best education possible, regardless of his or her economic status or zip code.
Sean Heim, head of the Oklahoma State School Boards Association, watched Stitt's speech.
Overall, I'm excited about working with the legislature and the executive branch on improving education, ways to give more flexibility and freedom to our school districts for innovation.
Heim also hopes to address the teacher shortage in the coming years. One way is to create more incentives, like the state scholarship program.
Where if a student goes from high school to college and goes into education, and then once they graduate, they work in Oklahoma schools, there's $25,500 between the scholarship and stipends after they go into the workforce.
In Oklahoma City, Chris Yu, Oklahoma's own News 9.
Oklahoma's school board has voted to approve what could become the nation's first publicly funded religious school. The application came from the Catholic Archdiocese of Oklahoma. It aims to create an online public charter school for students across the state from kindergarten through 12th grade. It would be funded by taxpayer dollars. And Oklahoma's Attorney General warns it's unconstitutional and opens the state to potential litigation. We're very lucky to have Laura Meckler join us. She is a national education writer for the Washington Post. Laura, is this... was this decision by the school board essentially the vote? Was it essentially to provoke a legal fight?
I don't know if that's their aim. I will say, though, that it is a stated aim of the Catholic Church. They have said that, yes, they want to provide this school to kids who don't have access to a private Catholic school, but they've also been pretty forthright about the fact that they are wanting to see this tested. They want to push the limits of government funding for religious education.
And I want to ask you how the Supreme Court would be likely to receive that. But first, the group, the Americans United for Separation of Church and State, has vowed to challenge this. What is their strongest argument?
Well, I think their argument is a straightforward, First Amendment argument about the separation of church and state, and this is direct public funding of a religious education. So this, and we can talk more about the precedents where we've been inching towards this, but this would be sort of strip away any pretense that that's not what government is doing here, and that is, in fact, public funding of religion. And, of course, the Constitution says that there shall be no establishment of religion, and many would argue, and historically the argument has been pretty well established, that when the government itself is funding religious activity, that that's not allowed.
So their argument's pretty straightforward. It's there in the Constitution, but now give us a sense of the complexity or the context of how the Supreme Court has adjudicated several states affecting this over the last few years.
You know, they've been just inching more and more toward what could be approval of a agreement like this. I mean, they started out in 2017 in a Missouri case. There was a state grant program to fund playground construction, and a religious school wanted to participate in. Other private schools were allowed to get this money, and they said, well, hey, we're similarly situated. This a playground, what's a playground? It's not religious activity. You're not paying for Bibles. You're just paying for a playground. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's okay. If other schools get it, the religious school should be able to get it. And then there was another step forward in a Montana case a couple of years ago, where that was a tax credit. People would get a tax break if they gave money, private money, to a scholarship granting program, and those scholarships would go to help pay for religious school tuition. So that was a little bit roundabout way of ultimately perhaps funding, you could argue, funding religion, but it was, again, private money ultimately going, albeit incentivized by a state tax credit. And the court said in that case, no, that is okay. Montana cannot exclude religious schools from participating in that program. And then last year, they went even further in a case in Maine. And that had to do with there was a program that allows kids who are in areas where there aren't enough kids for a public school to attend a private school. And then the government pays for it. And again, these were traditionally secular schools, but religious schools said, hey, why can you fund these and not us? And the court said, yes, it's up to the parents who are making the decision. So if they want to choose a religious school, they should be allowed to. So that was a big step towards this. So now this would be an even bigger step, I think, where you directly have the state funding the operations of a school. Because a charter school, while it is independently operated, is a public school.
And finally, Laura, leaving aside the law for a minute, what do those who argue against this, what's the argument they make on educational teaching grounds? And is there one for why this is not a good idea?
Well, I guess the argument against it would be, you know, do you want your, you know, if you want to go to a religious school, then, you know, you're free to do that, but that the public shouldn't necessarily be supporting that with taxpayer money, that essentially taxpayer money should not be going to fund religious activity. It could, in fact, in this case, be essentially paying for Bibles. We're not talking about playgrounds anymore. So I think that's the argument against it. Of course, the argument for it is, this is choice. This is up to parents. If parents want to choose Montessori, let them choose Montessori. And they want to choose Catholicism, let them choose that. So that's sort of where the arguments are.
And we want to have you on again to talk about all the other places that choice is being implemented, because this isn't just happening in localized areas. It's really a movement across the state, but we're across the country. But we're out of time. Laura Meckler, national education writer for The Washington Post, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now more than ever, we need policies that bring us together, not rip us apart. And as governor, I firmly believe that not 1 cent of taxpayer money should be used to define and divide young Oklahomans about their race or sex.
Governor Kevin Stitt addressing the signing of House Bill 1775, which says teachers aren't allowed to teach that one race or sex is inherently superior to another. It also says mandatory diversity training is not allowed, though can still be done voluntarily. Some lawmakers disappointed with the passage of the bill, saying it's important to be able to talk about racism.
It was 3 years after I was born before my parents would be allowed to marry in states in the United States. That's just unbelievable to me. And the fact that 54 years later, we are still having conversations about the problems of race is just unfathomable to me.
OU released a statement that reads in part, "While the university will comply with the new law, allowing students to opt out of the training, we sincerely hope students will elect to complete it. The university will also be adding general education courses addressing civil discourse." Oklahoma City Public Schools says the bill appears to be a solution looking for a problem which does not exist. The Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs applauded the passage of the bill, saying it sends a signal nationwide that Oklahomans will not tolerate efforts that force children to submit to the Marxist and racist theology of critical race theory, which demands that we judge people by the color of their skin. But others worried about the implications.
All we're going to see is accusations by well-meaning parents. They just know that, you know, these kids we're talking about racism at school, and this will serve as a gag order on classrooms and on conversations.
Stitt says the bill doesn't ban teaching historically significant events like the Tulsa Race Massacre and Trail of Tears.
We must keep teaching history in all of its complexities, and encourage honest and tough conversations about our past.
Angela Shen, Oklahoma's News 4.
All right, Angela, and that law is set to take effect on July 1st.
All right, and let's head on over to this direction at what looks like it says SISU, SISU Youth Services. So low barrier identity affirming space in Oklahoma City. All right, I'm on their website right now, sisuyouth.org/about. Always like to look at the About Us area. And so they tell us our story. The work of SISU Youth Services began in 2010 when Penny Reynolds set out to collect and share resources for at-risk youth in Oklahoma City. By 2013, her simple mission had become a full-scale intention to create a program that would simplify the process of connecting youth in crisis to emergency support services at every level of care. The Sisu Youth Day Center first opened its doors in 2014. One day a week, donors, case managers, service providers, and volunteers rally together to connect with and support unhoused youth in our city. The continual outpouring of love we received from our community every week blew us away, but we knew that our work wasn't done. Our youth needed a space that was open to them every day, a place where they could come as they are and be accepted and welcomed with open arms, no matter their gender identity, sexual orientation, cultural background, or religious affiliation. The dedication of our volunteers and the generosity of our donors have allowed us to expand Sisu into what it is today, a low-barrier, identity-affirming emergency overnight shelter and drop-in resource hub for unhoused and at-risk youth across our city. Together we have the power to show one another empathy, kindness, and respect. Together we can end youth homelessness. All right? And they have a whole leadership team. You know how it goes with orgs. They have their board of directors. Everything is listed there. They have folks that they partner with. Apparently, they partner with Heartland, some folks called Inasmuch, and Period OKC, and several others. All right. They have tabs over here at sisuyouth.org where you can get involved. They have programs, stories, contact information, and as it always tends to go, a donate button. sisuyouth.org/donate. Do what you can. All right. That is sisuyouth.org/donate.
On Monday, Senate Pro Tem Greg Tree called Woods' comments inappropriate and said that he spoke with the state senator. He went on to say, quote, "His remarks were not in any way reflective of myself, the Senate Republican caucus, Senate leadership, or the Senate overall. In my opinion, he had a serious lapse of judgment." Meanwhile, other elected Republicans took a much stronger approach, like State Labor Commissioner Leslie Osborne, who said Woods' comments disgusted her. In a statement, she said, quote, "A faction emerged within the Republican Party characterized by hate and divisiveness, overshadowing the principles the party once held dear. We should rise above spewing hate and legislating condemnation for every citizen who does not look like us, vote like us, worship like us, or identify or love like us." But Wood says he's not backing down in a statement to KOCO saying, "I stand behind what I believe in. The groups and individuals who push gender reassignment on children in our schools or anyone else who is trying to normalize behavior that shouldn't be tolerated is unacceptable in my mind."
I want to bring it to an end, coming from Metro Weekly, which this appears to really be an old school newsletter. I appreciate that newsletter with an op-ed by Will O'Brien. All right, two Wills come up in this one today. Headlined, "From Oklahoma to CPAC, the ethos is plain old bullying." Subheaded, "While bullying is a stubborn element of the human condition, so is the universal pleasure of seeing bullies get knocked on their asses." And looks like Will O'Brien got this published just a few hours before we pressed record for the podcast action. Let's get to it. "As February comes to a close, we should take time to mourn next Benedict, who will never see another one. The 16-year-old Oklahoma student reportedly complained of ongoing bullying before the February 7th bathroom attack that may well have led to their death. As the folks with Freedom Oklahoma put it, quote, while we continue to piece together the full story, we reflect on growing anti-LGBTQ plus sentiments amongst our youngest community members and how they are facing it more often, fueled by state law and rhetoric around it. Words and actions of our state elected officials and the growing platforms those in power are giving to people like Chaya Rychik, who continues to use her platform in a way that leads others to threaten real harm at Oklahoma kids. The harm is bullying. Obviously, folks that already tune into this program know that when it comes to Chaya Raichik in particular, I say that is a gangster calling hits. And then those hits get carried out by henchmen or hench people, if you will. We continue with the news, Metro Weekly. The community acronym used by Freedom Oklahoma was new to me, though. It was immediately obvious that the 2S edition stands for Two-Spirit. According to the 2020 census data, Oklahoma has the largest American, they put Indian, population, and the Federal Indian Health Service offers the definition of Two-Spirit. Of course, I don't typically use that language. That is the language in the article. Continuing, quote, traditionally, Native American Two-Spirit people were male, female, and sometimes intersexed individuals who combined activities of both men and women with traits unique to their status as Two-Spirit people. In most tribes, they were considered neither men nor women. They occupied a distinct alternative gender status, end quote. That seems like something you may have heard on a program like this before. Continuing. How organically beautiful. Organic, that is, as, quote, forming an integral element of a whole, end quote. Closer to home, by geography alone, absolutely not in sentiment, February also marked the rancid return of the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, to nearby National Harbor. The very well-educated Senator J.D. Vance, a Republican out of Ohio, was slated to speak. A couple of years prior, he offered his view on the Two-Spirit community in response to Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York. And he said, quote, I'm sorry, but what the hell is Two-Spirit? Would love if progressives just stopped inventing words. End quote. Excuse me, nigga. This part is not in the article. Inventing words. All right. As has been established by nerds far nerdier than I could ever be, cis as a prefix is old language, right? Transatlantic, cisatlantic. Come on, stop being silly. But then also making up new words. Two is a word and a number. Hey, sometimes it's both. And spirit is a word. And if you get into some cults, maybe it's a number too. Two-Spirit is not making up words. My goodness. Like, just not even trying. Like, that's where they're clearly, like, yeah, you want to share it to that tag group. I wish you would identify as an original joke. There's no new word here. Next thing you know, that I'm so ready for a Gen Z kid to say queer is a new word. I'm ready for that. That's coming. Continuing. That's how it all comes back to Next Benedict. You see, Vance, J.D. Vance, was attempting to bully progressives and folk who see gender as more than a binary, plain and simple. He managed to earn a law degree at Yale, yet couldn't spare 10 seconds to Google Two-Spirit. Bullying is easier, and surely worth more zittier likes and reposts. Zitter? Oh, they put a X instead of a TW for Twitter. I get it. Okay. All right, you're having a good time. Will O'Neill. Continuing. Considering the company Vance keeps, CPAC would be more of a meaningful moniker. Oh, CBAC. CBAC. Conservative Bullying Action Conference. Oh, Will is a nice person writing a nice article. Continuing. According to the folks over at Psychology Today, I don't know if I'd go to those folks, bullying is a distinctive pattern of repeatedly and deliberately harming and humiliating others. The deliberate targeting of those of lesser power is what distinguishes bullying from garden variety aggression. I can rock with that, end quote. Continuing, whiners on the right play the victim card nonstop. When they are attacking the whole queer community, they're going after a demographic that is much smaller than the majority. When they are picking on trans non-binary people specifically, Pew Research tells us that's 1.6% of American adults. 1.6%. Possibly 5% if you're counting just those younger than 30. How can you possibly feel threatened by a block that is so small and so ostracized? Another illuminating percentage from the Williams Institute is that 42% of transgender adults in the U.S. have attempted suicide. The deliberate targeting of those with lesser power. When the queer community was generally recognized as merely the gays, the bullying was as rampant as ever. We wouldn't have reclaimed queer if it were otherwise. And then they go on to name more homophobic slurs that I'm not about to motherfucking say out loud. Shit, I'm not saying any of that shit in the rest of this sentence. So, we're going to the next sentence. The Stonewall riots were sparked by a queer community in Greenwich Village, reaching its limit on being bullied by police and the mob, and finally fighting back. And now the right wing thinks twice about bullying the gays in the political arena. We are in Congress, governor's mansions, and presidential cabinets. Sadly, we're even at CPAC. Log cabin. At least in the form of a former ambassador, Richard Grenell, who is undoubtedly not alone. Moving on, the bullies, the bullies have taken aim at the transgender community. You see, Nex, N-E-X, while reportedly identifying as gender expansive, falls under this umbrella. From garden variety gay to gender non-binary, we are all guilty of perceived gender crime by those on the right who believe in distinct roles based on chromosomes or genitals or outward appearance or God knows what. They're always yelling at us to define woman, yet I'd eagerly bet money no random Moms for Liberty misses once Laverne Cox sharing a men's room with her husband or son, regardless of Ms. Cox's declared sex at birth. And right there is what I would point to, and that's exactly why Michael Knowles' name blew up, because that's what they want. They want you out of public entirely, not in the right bathroom, just out of what they see as their society that they culturally own and therefore institutionally own. Can you dig it? Continuing on with the concept of deliberately targeting of those of lesser power, Gustav Killender, who writes for The Independent, reported from CPAC, observing barely 90 seconds were allowed to pass at CPAC between criticisms of progressive ideas on gender, end quote. He then quoted Laura Trump, destined to be installed atop the Republican National Committee per Don's orders, lamenting schools teaching children they, quote, can change your gender like you change your shoes, end quote. Laura's father-in-law made an appearance. You might remember he was the president who tried to bar transgender people from serving in the military. The Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey was there, presumably for congratulatory fist bumps for banning care for trans youth, what he described in the Washington Watch with, quote, with Tony Perkins as a woke left-wing ideology, science projects, experimentation on children masquerading as medicine, end quote. And the name Schlapp makes an appearance here. Mercedes Schlapp was front and center. Where was Matt? Mercedes Schlapp front and center, even if center would be a hard veer to the left in her case. She is, after all, former staffer of the Trump White House and CPAC senior fellow, just the sort you'd expect to state on a Newsmax panel, quote, "As a mother, I'm fed up with these corporations pushing their transgender agenda onto us. It doesn't set a good example for our young girls," end quote. And the writer here, Will O'Neill, asks us, what about trans girls? Indeed, in some right-wing quarters, they'd like to bully them out of existence. It's very familiar. When I was young, with a budding sense of my sexual orientation being outside the majorities, there was so much talk of it being a phase. In more sinister tones, that's when I first became cognizant of the term grooming, because little gay boys could not naturally exist. There must be some outside sinister influence. But the world is full of queer people, even if we are an obvious minority. We've lost necks, but we will nevertheless always be here, as we always have been. Bullying has caused immeasurable harm, but it has not erased us. And whether bullying is a stubborn element of the human condition, so was the universal pleasure of seeing bullies get knocked on their asses. And that's not bullying, that's comeuppance, excuse me. Will O'Brien is the name of the now former Metro Weekly managing editor, living in D.C. with his husband. He is online at lifeinflights.com. All right, let's get the hell on out of here. My goodness. Rest in peace. Goddamn, next Benedict. Ruby Doss. Brianna Jai. And now Aaron Bushnell as well. It's not looking very groovy, folks. Not looking very groovy. Please be as groovy as you can be wherever you are.
You know it's they, them, as in me and most of mine. Some identical identity, I keep them close beside. Open old wounds just enough to bleed out older lines, so there's no truths left and I concede to close my eyes. And even though the sleet and snow are peeking through the blinds, I still meet them on my morning walk, sheepishly surprised. Used to think this skittish brain might need to be inside, till neurosis was a locksmith with a key to where I hide. Now I keep ice on me, that shit froze. Not like diamonds though, it's April and we still been getting snow, but me and all my friends are about to hit the road. Not for tour though, I really just enjoyed it when we drove, cause you're way less likely to get stared at by an old white man in a moving car. And yes, I see that really neat flag on your window. Are you quite aware that you guys lost the war? And yes, I did use the gender neutral bathroom. What is your concern with what I've got going on? You can fight me in this Walmart if you really want to, but when you get your ass beat, don't pull out your AR. And yes, my fucking nails are painted. What you think I didn't know? Yes, I wore a skirt today. What's with all the rigmarole? Yes, I've got some makeup on it. Yes, bitch, I look beautiful. So before you ask another question, you can get to getting ghost.
Ghost.